Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY22 earnings conference call of South Indian Bank, hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pritesh Bumb from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Hi, good morning to all. On behalf of DAM Capital, I would like to welcome the management of South Indian Bank, represented by Mr. Murali Ramakrishnan, MD and CEO, and other senior management team of the bank. We will quickly have opening remarks from the management, followed by Q&A. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Ramakrishnan. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. A very good morning to all of you, and thank you for joining us for the South Indian Q2 FY22 earnings conference call. We are joined by my colleagues, Mr. Thomas Joseph, Executive Vice President and Group Business Head, Head Sales, Mr. Anto George T, Head HR and Admin, Mr. Sanjay Sinha, Head Retail Liabilities, Mr. Leelanand, Head Treasury, Ms. Chitra, CFO, and Ms. Minu Moonjely, GM Credit. We hope that you and your family are safe and healthy. We continue to appreciate the efforts of our employees who have shown strong resilience and the ability to adapt to changing circumstances. With the help of vaccination camps organized in our offices across the country, about 96% of the staff are vaccinated for COVID. Coming to the macroeconomic factors, the Indian economy started gradually picking up alongside gradual easing of second wave of COVID restrictions since second half of June. The economic indicators like GST collections, IIP, et cetera, have gradually improved over last few months. Further, the inflation has remained within policy range, and the RBI continued to hold accommodative view. However, given our big presence in South India and there was a prolonged lockdown in some states, the bank saw improvement in business activities from September 2021 onwards. We are hopeful that the declining new coronavirus, accelerated vaccination drive, improved customer and business confidence, anticipated higher demand in the upcoming festive season, among others, will further enhance the pace of economic recovery in the coming months. The bank has undertaken multiple transformation projects starting October 2020, and we are seeing traction in each one of them. Let me give brief of the major shifts which have happened over last one year. We have brought in the concept of vertical asset structure, dedicated product expert heading the vertical. The full structure and dedicated team has been put in place by end of July 2021, and we have started seeing business gradually improving from September onwards. The bank had launched a few retail asset products in line with our stated retail product roadmap for the medium term. Our strategy to improve profitability through quality credit by introducing unsecured retail business is showing a good traction. The bank entered into a partnership with FPL Technologies to launch co-branded OneCard metal credit card. The SIB OneCard comes with features such as lifetime validity with a zero joining and annual fees, 100% digital customer onboarding process, instant virtual card issuance, instant issuance of reward points, and easy redemption within the app, et cetera. Given digital banking being one of the focus areas for us, this next generation credit card is the best product to offer to India's young population. The credit card were initially launched for employees, which has now been extended to our customer base of 65 lakhs. We had issued over 4,000 cards as we speak. The bank has also launched another high-yielding pre-approved personal loan. The personal loan is offered based on the imputed income and various time-tested algorithms in tie-up with credit bureau. The bank has seen initial success and disbursed over 100 crores in the month of personal loans for the month of September. We are launching other pre-approved asset products to augment growth and profitability in the coming quarters. Coming to branch banking, we have revamped the branch banking structure by bringing in a layer of cluster heads to improve span of control and bring focus on strengthening liability franchise. Further, we have identified dedicated vertical heads for branch banking and NR business, which has been instrumental in building strong growth in CASA ratio from 25% to 30.8%. The bank has also been empaneled as an agency bank by Reserve Bank of India to undertake general banking business of central and state governments on behalf of RBI. This will further augment our robust deposit base by tapping government business. As far as sales mix is concerned, the bank was predominantly sourcing its business through branches. Recently, we have started adding multiple sourcing channels, including network of direct selling agents, DSAs, and collaboration with fintechs to generate business. We have also launched our new CRM Next, which has capability to track potential leads end-to-end. This has helped us to track customers on all our digital assets, including SIB Mirror Plus mobile app and SIB Airnet internet banking for better and customized product offering. The bank has also incorporated subsidiary after required regulatory approvals, which is being used to create pool of direct sales team. Towards building strong infrastructure for a digital bank, the bank has set up strong data science team with domain expertise to do analytics in the area of assets, liability and collection. A comprehensive framework to monitor the quality of the asset portfolio is being implemented with specific focus for on early delinquencies, collection efficiency, etc. Pre-approved offers identified with low risk are also generated through use of analytics and in collaboration with credit bureaus. One of the key strengths of the bank is young and professional workforce. They have recruited over 1,500 employees across various verticals and roles. The bank has also implemented online LMS, that is learning management system, for competency building of the employees. In order to motivate senior leadership, the bank has revamped its employee stock option plan and brought in the concept of talent pool to create bench for leadership roles. In order to improve credit monitoring, we have set up robust credit mid office group which tracks early warning signals through rigorous credit monitoring exercise. The team also takes care of pre- and post-disbursement activities, gaining better control over the entire loan cycle. Recovery has been key focus of the bank. We have decentralized collection structure with dedicated region collection managers for each region. Surface hub has been set up where preparation and approval notices are centralized for all regions, resulting in reduction in tax from 60 to 90 days to around 30 days. The bank has achieved significant strides in digital banking backed by robust technology infrastructure and innovation. The share of digital transaction has been consistently growing quarter on quarter and stands at 92.1%. The mobile banking transactions volume has increased by 118% year on year to 46 million transactions and contributes over 96% of the total digital transaction volume. We have been continuously ranked among top 10 digital banks by MIETY index. The bank has been forefront for its digital, strong digital capabilities. This has been further strengthened by launching critical IT system including loan origination system in collaboration with Nucleus, Experian retail credit models, integrated treasury system with host of forex products, robust collection system with capability to assess collection efficiencies of agents, CRM Next platform with 360 degree view of the customer, and new SIB Mirror Plus mobile app for ease and convenience of the customers. We are seeing good progress in the transformation journey and are hopeful that with the conducive economic environment, we will be able to grow in the coming quarters if the headwinds of economy subside. Let me take you through key highlights of the operational and financial performance for this quarter. The total business for the bank stands at 1,45,149 crores as of September 30th, 2021. Advances were stable at rupees 58,309 crores. We have continued to grow our gold loan portfolio, registering growth of 11% year on year to 9,470 crores as of September 30, 2021. The bank continues to calibrate and churn corporate portfolio with better rated corporates. The share of A and above rated corporates in large corporate book, that is 100 crores and above, improved from 56% at June 2021 to 75% at September 2021. During the quarter, we also launched pre-approved personal loans and achieved disbursement of 100 crores of personal loans in the month of September. And SME has also registered disbursement of over 300 crores in September 2021. Retail deposits rose by 10% year on year to 82,402 crores. CASA deposits increased by 17% year on year to rupees 26,773 crores, predominantly due to continued improvement in our savings account business, which grew by 18% year on year to 22,403 crores. CASA ratio continued to improve and reached 30.8% of the total deposits. Bulk deposits in tune with our strategy declined by 41% year on year to 4,437 crores, which is in tune with our strategy. NRE deposits, which has been growing steadily, rose by 6% year on year, rupees 26,823 crores, and contributes about 31% of the total deposits. Low cost NRE deposits grew by 6% year on year to rupees 8,187 crores. The bank saw a robust growth of 29% year on year in our NRE remittance business during the quarter. Our investment book was at 23,056 crores, of which HTM category contributed to 17,302 crores, while AFS contributed to about 5,681 crores. The bank witnessed slippages of 531 crores during Q2 2022, which were in line with the guidance given for FY 2022. Personal and business segments continue to feel the impact of the COVID. The bank had restructured rupees 579 crores worth of loans under OTR2 framework, of which business segment is about 348 crores, personal segment is 176 crores, and corporate is 55 crores. Following the unlocking and lifting of the second wave COVID restriction, the bank saw improvement in the collection efficiency. The overall collection efficiency for the months of July, August and September 2021 was 88.3%, 108% and 91.4% respectively. Gross NPA ratio improved by 137 basis points from 8.02% as of June 30, 2021 to 6.55% as of September 30, 2021. During the quarter, the bank sold rupees 1049 crores worth of loans ARCs and was able to recover or upgrade 277 crores worth of NPAs. The net NPA ratio improved by 120 basis points from 5.05% as of June 30, 2021 to 3.83% as of September 30, 2021. Net interest income for the quarter was 527 crores. Net interest margin was 2.52% for Q2 2022 compared to 2.55% for Q1 2022. The decline in the margin was predominantly due to a reversal of interest on account of NPA slippages of rupees 46 crores. Non-interest income decreased to rupees 99 crores. As per RBI directions, provisions for depreciation of investments amounting to 176 crores for Q2 FY22 has been shown under other income in the profit and loss account, which was originally classified under provisions and contingencies. Further, amount recovered from return off accounts of rupees 58 crores was reclassified under provisions and contingencies against previous year classification under other income. However, our core fee income increased by 27% year on year to 117 crores and other income increased by 7% year on year to rupees 98 crores. The said revised accounting norm has impacted our PPOP, which stands at 112 crores for Q2 FY22. Excluding the said amendments, operating profit would have been rupees 346 crores. Overall provisions increased by 19% year on year to 362 crores in Q2 FY22. These provisions include 269 crores towards NPA and NPI and standard asset provisions of 55 crores. As a prudent measure, the bank has made an additional provision of rupees 160 crores, which resulted in improved PCR from 60.11% as of June 2021 to 65.02% as of September 30, 2021. Had this additional provision of rupees 160 crores not been provided, the net loss of the bank would be only rupees 27 crores. PCR excluding write-off improved to 43.9% as of September 30, 2021 compared to 39% as of June 30, 2021. Our overall capital adequacy ratio improved to 15.74% as of September 30, 2021 compared to 15.47% as of June 30, 2021, while the Tier 1 ratio stands at 12.77% as of September 30, 2021. We believe that our strong and diversified franchise, large distribution network, structural changes to bring about growth, infusion of talent and technology capabilities with improved tools will provide us ability to leverage opportunities for profitable growth in the coming quarters with the headwinds in the economy tapering. With this, I open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Just if you could, help us to understand, we have not seen any increase in number of branches, but during this quarter, the number of employees, has been increased and we are in the hiring mode. So you could help us to understand what is the, rationale behind this new hiring and what sort of, business activities, this segment is going to pick up.
Right. Good question. See, if you understand the strategy, we have actually moved away from the branch-based sourcing to the vertical-based sourcing for assets, right? That is one. And second, in the branch, the distribution side, we have brought in the layer of cluster heads above branches and region heads are above cluster heads. The way we have organized now is sort of 8 to 9 branches will be reporting to cluster head and 5 to 6 cluster heads will be reporting to region head. This is a structure of on the liability and distribution side, And the retail asset vertical side, asset side, we have a business head under who there will be zonal heads, and there will be regional heads, and then there will be SMs and RMs, which is of course different for each of these business lines. So the number of people who we have added need not necessarily be for opening up new branches. These are basically to fill in the slots which are required for beefing up the business structure in the asset side and to fill in the vacancies which arise out of the relocation of people from branches into verticals, as well as people who retire, people who resign. So we need to fill in those slots because of which the overall hiring has happened. So, and also as I read in my opening remarks, they have created lot of support divisions. For example, CMOG has been brought in. We have brought in data analytics team. We have brought in marketing team. We have brought in operations has been separately moved as a control group. We have beefed up credit structure. So all these teams have been beefed up with manpower so that these control groups and the support functions are in tune with whatever business strategy which you are articulating. So these extra resources who we have hired are not necessarily for any new branches. Of course, we keep reorienting our branches. We do some consolidation of branches, and any license which gets released out of that, we go and open branches in the location where we are not represented. That way we have been opening some 5 to 10 branches every quarter. But the overall strategy of the bank is not to really go full log on brick and mortar into digital way, because the banking is going to move from brick and mortar into digital. That's going to be the future of banking. In tune with that, we have opened a full digital branch also, and also these asset products, we are actually moving towards digitizing the entire loan process. That's the reason why we are buying in Nucleus platform. We are also looking at evaluating an SME platform. We have also brought in complete fulfilling happening through digital for personal loan, credit card. So all these are with the aim to ready the bank for the future of banking, which is going to be completely digital. So the conventional theory of, you know, recruiting people to go and fill up branches, that's not going to be seen at least for some time.
Okay, got it. And, my second question is that if we see the consolidation, you know, that was happening post you came in and you know, in this COVID period, we have seen sizable consolidation of balance sheet that has happened, where we have not grown our loan book and lot of calibration has happened, and we have moved to a lot of, you know, AAA or maybe A rated plus corporates in this time frame. So, the risk profile has been reduced, to a great extent, for the bank. But moving into now, we are seeing, there is, some amount of pickup which is visible, and we are not visualizing, any sort of third wave which is in our way, and a lot of other smaller banks or the NBFCs are also talking about, the growth to pick up in these segments. So how we are going to place ourselves, maybe in next 6 months or the next year, where we are seeing, the loan book to grow? Because unless and otherwise that happens, the operating metrics will be pretty difficult for the bank to improve. And since now we have increased the cost by hiring new people, so we need some sort of business to justify, this cost increases. Thank you.
Very good question. I'll answer it in 2-3 parts. First of all, I want to tell you that we have, as you said rightly, we have done a lot of consolidation, basically correcting the balance sheet quality, in terms of portfolio quality, by bringing in good quality cases across the business lines, not necessarily in corporate alone, but across the business lines. And just to give you a data, from April till 2 days back of this month, actually we have disbursed more than 10,000 crores, which is actually in tune with the target which I had set for myself. So while you might be seeing the degrowth in the book happening primarily due to three reasons. One is the book which is turning out to be NPA due to slippages, obviously out of them. The book which is getting written off, where we have taken full provisions, that goes out. There are bank induced exits which happen, and there are some customer induced exits due to low rates prevailing the market. So all these have been leading to something like 2000 to 3000 crores of dip happening every quarter due to the combination of this. But if you look at book as of, compare that with the book as of June end, we are down only by 10 crores. What does that mean? The 2,000 crores which we are regularly seeing quarter on quarter dip due to repayment, due to movements happening, bank-induced movements as well as customer-induced movements as well as slippages, etc. We are now compensated with a good quality book which is coming in. So if I were to say, this 10,000 crores of new disbursement which has happened, if they are of high quality, you can imagine that in a 58,000 crore book, if you are adding almost one fifth of that of high quality, you can expect the terms of quality of the book which is going to get built as we ramp up our business is going to be far better. Why am I saying that it will be quality-wise, it will be far better? For the various reasons we talked about, how we are strengthening the entire credit collection, data analytics and all those support functions we talked about. So to your question, whether we are seeing growth happening, that is exactly why I read out some of the data with respect to personal loan, with respect to SME, with respect to corporate, how we have seen traction happening even as and when this thing set up by July. We have started seeing traction happening from August, mid-August onwards. So, and as I am talking to you, we are already seeing some traction happening in this quarter. So I am very hopeful that with the way we are now organized, we have organized ourselves, we are going to definitely see good growth happening across all product segments. But I am very, very clear that I am going to be doing only quality growth. Between quality and growth, I will prefer quality definitely, because I cannot afford to have any dip in my quality of the book. Therefore, if that means I need to forego a little bit of growth, I am fine with that. So I want to do a, we are in it for long term, and we need to definitely do all the right actions for the short term to ensure that we clearly reorient our balance sheet and P&L for positioning it for much better way to exploit the market opportunity to be coming as we move along the various quarters. So while I do that, I will strengthen all the other key infrastructure required for running a good bank in terms of improving our collection, in terms of improving our strengthening our legal recourse and recovery through legal recourse, to improve our operations, ensuring that there is no conflict of interest, there is a good training of all the manpower happening, there is a good science getting used for coming out with the pre-approved offers for various products, etc. So we are putting all those very, very fundamental blocks which are required for creating a good institution, which is what I am trying to drive at.
Thank you, sir, for that elaborative answer. And in terms of asset quality, this is my last question. We have seen that last two quarters, as you highlighted, you know, in the last one call also, is going to be a bit of on the higher side in this quarter. Thankfully, you know, it has come lower than our expectation. But going into second half, you know, how are you seeing now, in terms of asset quality, the things are going to look like?
It will be, I don't want really double guess, because we really, none of us know that what will happen 2-3 months down the line, because if you recall, when we were all talking in February, March, etc., we never anticipated COVID to happen. So while I don't want any mishaps to happen, but having said that, we'll continue to maintain that we are looking at a slippages of 2,300-2,500 crores for the year. But I believe that, you know, we'll be erring on over under promising and over delivery.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations on detailed disclosure. I also wanted to check, sir, two, three things. One, on asset quality, if you can give the recovery and upgrade and write-off separately for this quarter.
Yeah, any more questions or you want me to answer now?
Yeah, so then, sir, on this entire ARC transaction, I think this is what leading to this the negative in the other income thing, because you have made a treasury profit, and there is a forex profit also.
Correct.
But the treasury plus forex is negative because you have had a large hit on investment depreciation.
Correct.
And it looks like it is mainly from ARC sale.
Correct.
So if you can, maybe you can tie these things together, that what was the ARC transaction, how much, what have you got?
First of all, I want to appreciate your incisive understanding, because this is something which actually I look forward to from good analysts. So first of all, I must thank you that you have really seen the numbers and really wish to place my appreciation, because this is something which people miss it, and they generally look at the final number and comment on that. I am very happy that you actually look at the details. So just to give you sense of what actually we have done in terms of ARC, see, we have done 3 transactions of ARC sales in this quarter. In terms of total number of accounts sold, we have sold about 29 accounts, and we have cleaned up gross NPFs close to 1049 crores, on which we had held a provisioning of 561 crores. So net NPA of this account sold is 488 crores. And we have got a sale consideration of 578 crores. Therefore, we have received a cash of 94 crores. And there is an investment in SR made of 484 crores. And therefore, we have made a provision of about 142 crores towards the towards SR. So if I need to give you breakup of this, the gross NPA of 1049 crores, what is the segment breakup? Corporate is about 899 crores, close to 900 crores. And B segment is about 149 crores, which is adding up to 1049 crores. So this is the detail on the ARC. And we have done, actually, there are 3 transactions, and of which 2 transactions were with multiple accounts, and third one is a pure cash transaction of only one account. So, therefore, this provision which we have made of 142 crores, this is exactly like the way you put it. This is appearing in the other income, which is depressing the retention income which has been made. That's the reason why our total income appears to be showing as a drop, whereas it is not really so.
Understood, sir. And then you can highlight, sir, how much was the recovery and upgrade, and how much was the write-off, including this or maybe excluding this?
Yeah. Total advances as of Q2 year end, I mean, so Q2 end, we said 58,309 crores. We have opening GNPA, we had about 4,677 crores. We had a fresh slippages in this quarter of 531 crores. We have recovered, GNPA recovery alone is 282 crores. And ARC sale is about 1,050 crores. So we entered with the GNPA closing of 3880 crores, which is about 6.65% of my advances book.
No, so just to reconfirm, the recovery and upgrade, including cash recovery, was 282 crores.
From the NPA accounts. We have also recovered from fully written off accounts. From GNPA recovery alone is 282 crores. Just to give you the overall correction, what we have done in this first half is what we have done for the full year of last year.
Right.
In fact, we have actually upped our target for the year, for the team. We have already, initially only I gave 2 times the target, and now I have upped it even further. So we are actually, that team is really shaping up very, very well. And I am pretty hopeful that with good collection and recovery, you know that, no, we can confidently go and build a quality asset book.
Right. Okay. And when you say collection efficiency at 91% for September month,
Yeah. This,
the number looks slightly lower, right? Because we thought that everything would have normalized.
You're right. Perfect. It's slightly lower. I think we need to up that. If you look at, for example, August, we have done more than 100. 108% is what we have done. Whereas for September, it's a little lower. These aberrations will keep happening in the month. We will correct it. It's not something
that... What should be the normalized number? I understand it cannot go back to, let's say, 99, but what could be the...
You need to look at it this way. Collection, if I were to really articulate the way I look at the whole collection is, there are 2 distinct ways of doing collection. One is the retail collection, the other one is the non-retail collection. Okay. Retail collection typically happens through, in all the large banks and all the retail banks, it happens through collection agencies. And non-retail generally happens through employees who are doing those business. In this bank, we hardly had any agencies for doing retail collection in the past. So the entire team of collection agents actually doing collection, we have actually put it in place just about a few months back. So, and we have also beefed up with some of the best agencies who are doing excellent work for many of the large banks in the country. So that, and we have recently taken a collection and recovery head who has just taken a position just about a month since he had joined. So after he's coming in and he has got a rich retail SME collection and business experience. So with him coming in, a lot of traction now we are seeing in the way retail collection is happening. Now, we have just seen a very, very small output from this thing which has been set up. Going forward, we will definitely see a lot of ramp-up happening in collection front. As far as SME and, of course, a non-retail collection, it happens through employees. And there, as we have been talking, I have been doing a weekly review of recovery and collection where I look at SMA 0, SMA 1, 2, and NPAs. And that is something which the trigger is continuing even today. That's the reason why we are able to do well, very well in the collection and recovery front, so which I'll continue to do. But we will definitely start seeing good traction happening in retail collection also. Particularly in retail collection, if I were to look at the component which is giving us a headache is in the area of LAP and home loan, which traditionally used to be a very decent book for many large banks. So we definitely need to correct our whatever we've been erring on that side, which we have done on the sourcing side, and we'll continue to do that. Now, collection side, we need to ramp speed enough so that we are able to manage it well. But as I am talking to you, if you were to look at collection efficiency product-wise, housing loan for July was 100.3, for August 99.7, for September 102.8. Vehicle loan 99.9 for July, 100 for August, and 101 for September. Mortgage is 103.6 for July, 97 for August, and 102.9 for September. So they are all now falling in place. Now it's a question of going and cleaning that up so that we, and it's a very, not a very large book. As you know, a retail book for us is not a very large book. So once we clean this up, I think with the way now the teams are put in place, we'll be able to see good traction happening in the business one.
Right. And so just last two things. One is you had mentioned that, you know, you will be retaining your 2,400-2,500 crores of gross slippages estimate that you had at the beginning of the year. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. And secondly, sir, if you can also highlight the, let us say, recovery, how should one look at recovery and also the, let us say, provisioning requirement? Because historically, your ARC sale have not, I mean, they have given a shock in terms of maybe after 1 year, 2 year down the line when they are coming for MTM. So while you have had, if I look at it now, you have 50% provisioning on ARC book. But what is your sense? Would this require some more provisioning as we go along? Or, you know, how should one look at the recovery upgrade and the provisioning line item? Thank you.
You are right. It's not only this bank's experience, it's been the experience of many other banks also in the industry that ARCs for various reasons have not been able to live up to the expectations of the lenders. But and quite honestly, if you were to look at last 1.5 years, I think they are also operating the same ecosystem which we are all operating, and we know how much of ecosystem was supporting or not supporting the collection and recovery. In many of the courts where we did not have people to take calls, etc., many of the restrictions were there in terms of movement, etc. So I think there is a bit of consolidation happening even amongst ARCs if you look at it. So the communication today which is happening with ARCs is also that, you know, we are not too happy with the way things have happened in the past. So they are also now, whenever they buy a portfolio, they also factor in what is likely to be because they are also taking part in the investments. If you look at 85/15, they also take part in the SRs. And so, and many of them, you know, their capital and all is fairly limited. So they promise, overpromise, and underdeliver all the time. So we are quite conscious of the past history of the ARC. That's the reason why we are also proactively looking at how we can accelerate the provisioning so that we are not seeing too much of fluctuation going forward. But if indeed the collection improves, which is what I'm hoping, because with the way now they have also revamped their teams, etc., now they are also, you know, very carefully looking at before they commit any sale value, etc., they look at the feasibility of collecting money from each of those underlying accounts. So all that rigor is now going into them also before they purchase the pool. So I think it's going to be definitely a partnership which we need to work with them to ensure that, you know, both of us meet up with our expectations. So we'll see, we will have to take it as it comes. As of now, I will anyway be sharing with you as we go along how we are faring in that. So we will always take the right action to ensure that we don't slip on this.
Sure. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viva Patra from Fair Connect. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. My question is again on this ARC sale. You said that gross value was 1049. You already have provisions of 561. But still you made 144 crore provision. So if your net value was already 488 crore and you received 578 crore, what is this 144 crore provision on account of?
It's an additional provision which you are keeping. This is exactly what I had answered in my earlier questions. They just to be on the conservative side.
Okay, but when typically ARC invest, they do the fair value, you know, of the transaction. As for that fair value was 578 crore and you were carrying 488 crore. Despite that, you took additional provision.
Correct, yeah. Which we also had a, see, if you recall one of the questions, I'm sure if you have been part of analyst call, something which we have been always asked about is, you know, PCR ratio, net of rate of gross of all that is something which we keep talking about. So in order to ensure that, you know, we also meet up with the overall briefing of our PCR ratio, etc., we thought it makes sense to, be cautious on this. So we are, therefore, we have provided extra also on this.
One more thing
which I need to tell you, the provision of extra is also, as you said rightly, it's all based on the net asset value declared by ARC. However, for the SR investments made after 31st March 2018, the provision for SR is done assuming that the loans notionally continue in the books of the bank.
Okay.
So, if they continue in the books and if they deteriorate and move into the next bucket, corresponding provisioning we need to keep. So, this is as per the guidance. Therefore, 2018, it's been introduced in from 31st March of 2018. So, this is something which is in tune with that we have kept.
Okay. Got it. One last question is, cash that you received on one account, 94 crore, what kind of a haircut was that and was that one account?
94 crores you received. What was your question?
You received the cash on one account, you said, no? You received 94 crores.
You know that any of the ARCs, 85% of the consideration is by way of SR. 15% is the mandatory thing which any ARCs will have to pay as cash.
It's so not one account which got settled. Okay.
Right. No. It is a 15% of 1049 crores which we talked
about. Okay. So the current book of NPAs that you have, what is your sense on recoverability from gross NPAs, not over 1 year, say over lifetime?
It's a very difficult question to answer. I mean, I can only talk about how well we are doing in the recovery as against the recovery and collection as against the targets which are keeping for ourselves. My goal for 2024 March, as stated in my strategy document, is to bring down gross NPA levels to the range of 2.5 to 3%. That's what we want to aim to work towards. So that can happen, in my view, based on 2-3 initiatives. One is, clearly we will have to keep adding good quality portfolio so that our denominator with a good quality portfolio will keep adding up, which will obviously bring down as a percentage of the stressed asset, it will come down as a percentage. Number two, we will have to continue to do resolution of our NPA cases, either by going for a settlement or legal recourse or any of those various measures which we have. And we need to constantly do a good collection in the SMA 1, 2 books so that they don't slip into future NPA. So this is a continuing exercise, I think, which we need to do. Right now, as we are talking, the last 1.5-2 years, we all had the disadvantage of economy not being very supportive. There are a lot of headwinds in terms of improving your denominator by way of sourcing more and more new cases. Now with things which are coming on board, with whatever we are seeing as traction from mid-July onwards, we expect the growth to happen in the asset side. And with our emphasis on quality assets, we believe that denominator will be with a good quality assets coming into the book, and with the numerator getting cleaned up through various measures, overall GNPA management will keep happening. And anyway, we will take stock every quarter and see how to manage it so that we are able to get good recovery. At the same time, we are able to meet up with the expectations which you have set out for us.
Okay. And your rating continues to be on negative outlook and stress assets. You know, they have given stress assets at 13% by adding gross NPLs.
Obviously, when the rating agency did this, they did it before this quarter end. Now, but you should also recognize that rating agencies have maintained their rating. Both the rating agencies have maintained their rating because they also saw a lot of merit in the way the bank has been putting its strategy in place and the way the bank is going about transforming its various functions and divisions. And therefore, they are quite happy with the fact that, you know, the structures are in place and right action is happening, etc. So they, of course, they keep watching. See, all said and done, we are still not out of the problem. As I am saying, this year also we are expecting 2,300 crores of slippages to happen, which means clearly we are in the midst of the storm as we are talking. So every quarter we are experiencing. Last quarter I had 800 plus crores of slippages. This quarter I am talking about 500 plus crores of slippages. Though it is lower than what we had originally envisaged, but still it is a high amount. Therefore, we are still in the midst of things. So till that happens, I don't expect them to be lenient towards this. They will continue to maintain interest negative, which is fair also on that side.
Okay. And do you have a guidance for business credit growth over till March 22 or?
I don't want to give any guidance for credit growth because it's purely dependent on how well the market is behaving and how, what kind of quality assets are present in the market. We don't want to grow for the sake of growing. We want to really grow by acquiring good quality assets. Because I don't have the room to go and just increase my asset base. I need to do a proper good job of putting in right cases so that as a complex, as a portfolio quality, I want it to move from whatever it is today to much, much, much quality level.
Okay. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of 2B Rex, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, it's been 3 quarters since we have disclosed the Vision 2024 strategy document. Are we still in track and what is your feedback on it? Are you happy with the progress?
Yeah. So, see, let me give you a little bit of a context here. See, Vision 24 document was formulated in the month of September last year and we presented it, we made it out by something like November. So, when this was in the midst of COVID-1 and COVID-2 was not anticipated at all, and clearly whatever was happening in April, May, etc., obviously no one could have foreseen. So, whatever we had spelled out as a strategy document was, of course, taking into account that we this is what we needed to do for the bank in order to look at the various metrics by which a bank's performance will be measured. So we have put our own wish list of where we want to be by end of 24 March. But in April, and this we stated as a strategic intent, we said that we will drive profitability growth through quality credit using 6C strategy, where we articulated where we want to be in all these C's which we are talking about: CASA, capital adequacy, cost income ratio, competency building, compliance, and customer focus. So in all of this, I am happy to say that in every one of this, we have shown good progress in all these areas. And capital adequacy, I'm sure all of you who have been tracking this institution for some time will know that we are now sitting very comfortable at about 15.7%. Clearly, my goal is to really be on par with some of the best-run banks of looking at 18% capital adequacy, which is what we are targeting, though our strategy document talks about, a comfortable range of 16% or something like that. So, with respect to CASA, we have clearly seen a track from 25% level to 30.8% as I am talking. Now, you should remember that with the way we are now improving the franchise of NR, TASC, government, and retail, these are the 4 channels by which we are increasing our CASA, and with our re-strategizing the customer target segment which we want to really reorient, with which we believe that with more and more new asset customers getting onboarded and with the way our retail liability is going to be geared up for sourcing more and more of CASA, more and more of doing cross-sell, identifying good quality customers to be onboarded and getting more and more salary mandates, working with the corporates and through an ecosystem where we tap all their potential business opportunities, etc., we believe that quality of accounts which will be adding will be far more. So with all that, I am hoping that though I set out a target of 35% for March 24, as far as CASA is concerned, I am pretty confident that we'll be able to reach that level much before that. As far as competency building, I spelled out what all we are doing. We have completely mapped our leadership team, our top 60 people of the bank. We have completely mapped their leadership capabilities, and we are working as a team to bring out our best, and this team is working without any boundaries, and all of them are really passionate about bringing about this transformation which is happening in the bank. And our mid layer and lower level of management is concerned, there is a whole lot of initiatives which are taking to build their competencies, both in functional as well as in the soft side, through building e-learning modules. And we are now acquiring a learning management system with which we'll be able to make our employees learn in their own leisure time, and really equipping them with a lot of skills, with which we believe that a big efficiency and productivity improvement will happen. As far as customer focus concerned, a whole lot of initiatives we have taken on the technology side. With all that, we believe that, and we continue to feature among the top 10 banks in the digital index which the Government of India is bringing out. And our digital traction is more than 92% of our transactions happen through digital tools. So with all this, I believe that customer focus, customer convenience, all this is really given a lot of importance. And as far as cost to income, this is one area where I must say that we are still to do a lot of work. This is primarily due to two areas. One is income, as you said, as we've been talking about, income definitely has to come from more and more of asset buildup happening, with more and more of better margin business coming in, and with the market also supporting us for growth. Now, market supporting us for growth clearly suffered due to COVID, which we have started seeing traction now, with which that will improve. As far as high income product is concerned, I mentioned about how we have made traction with now gold loan, credit card, PL, with which we will be definitely looking at high yielding product without compromising on quality. Third thing is, as far as cost is concerned, we have brought in a lot of efficiencies in many areas, but as far as the employee cost is concerned, because of the settlement which happened for as IBA, where institutions follow IBA structure, we clearly need to follow whatever is the settlement which happened. And that impact is something which I need to carry it in my books, and I have no choice on that. So that is something which will definitely is hitting us much more than what we had originally envisaged. But given that what it is, we need to see how we can work on other areas so that the ratio is brought down. And as far as this employee benefit is concerned, you must have heard about the recent guideline where family pension thing which was talked about, where regulators have given a concession for all the institutions to take the delta hit over 5 years, but we did not want to take it for 5 years. We want to provide for it completely in 7 quarters. We want to complete everything by March 23 itself. So we, wherever it's possible for us to take, do the accelerated provision towards that, we are taking those accelerated provision also. So so the way I look at cost income becoming better and better is by improving the income on one side and being completely efficient on the cost side by constantly working on leakage of income, constantly renegotiating with vendors, bringing in a lot of efficiencies, etc. And also doing lot of sourcing through digital. Sourcing cost for a digital sourcing is obviously far lower than an employee cost, and we are also looking at DST, DSA models to bring down the cost of business. So with all this, we believe that even cost income will be brought under control. Though it is a little longer journey, but we'll get it. And as far as compliance is concerned, clearly I have articulated that we have zero tolerance for fraud, and that's something which we are going full hog. We are not compromising. Clearly we are seeing that in terms of the quick mortality, etc., coming down. We are also seeing very less number of cyber frauds, etc., happening. So I think all these are moving in the right track. So one word, whatever strategy which we set out to do, in all the areas we are seeing good traction happening. I think the team is doing a great job, and the team is motivated to really bring about this change. I am quite confident that will be there. Of course, while doing all that, how do we fundamentally correct some of the issues which are plaguing the bank? That is something which we are clearly addressing it by taking selective actions every quarter. Towards that, only this PCR improvement, gross NPA management, as well as the CASA growth and all other things, cost of funds continuously being brought down by efficiently deploying our resources and going and tapping all low-cost resources, etc. All that is being put in place. Thank you.
Thank you for the detailed answer, sir. Sir, regarding the hiring, is there most of the hiring done, or the trend continues, sir?
We have done whatever is required for hiring for the various verticals and business groups. We have done the hiring. There is a little bit more hiring which we need to do on the control group, especially on the credit side. Now with the traction happening in the number of applications which you are getting, particularly in the business segment, etc., we believe that we need to equip the team with a lot more resources. That is something which we are doing. So we are giving increasing skeletal number of resources for some of the key control functions like collection, credit, legal. These are some of the areas where we are recruiting now. Otherwise, business side, more or less we have done. Most of the other recruitments will anyway happen through DST, DSA, which is essentially for sourcing.
May I request Mr. Rex to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for their turn.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prabal Gandhi from Antique Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, am I audible?
No.
You can come a little closer and speak, probably. Not very clear.
Is it better, sir?
Yeah, better, yeah.
But on the slippages side, we have seen higher slippages coming from the agriculture side. So if you can explain that.
See, this is even
0.5% slippage from the agriculture side.
But it is, if you look at the overall slippage, it's a very small amount. So we are not really concerned about it. But to answer your question, these are all basically the KCC, as you know, we actually, in fact, I would say most of them are due to KCC, and KCC also why it is happening is that you know that interest dues, etc., we have given them a very long, as part of the bank's policy, we have given them very long time for repaying those interests. So I think from 360 days is what we had kept originally, and then it was extended to 720 days. And this was basically due to the floods, etc., which happened in Kerala. Many of them got hit badly due to consecutive havoc due to natural calamities, etc. So, but having said that, I think there is a good effort being put in by the team now to go and recover from KCCs. As I am talking to you, Q2, we have seen good traction happening. Frankly, I was anticipating much more slippages there, but the team was able to actually bring it down. So the good news is that we are seeing traction happening even in the collection from those accounts. But the flip side is that they got really impacted due to floods and consecutive natural calamities happening in Kerala particularly. And this being our largest region where we have done a lot of more than 50% of our sourcing, clearly this is something which is impacting us. But if you look at whether it is really worrying me, because in the overall scheme of things, it's not very large.
Got it. Sir, and on the coverage ratio, so according to us, what would be appropriate coverage in the
See, we are talking about a PCR excluding write-off. We are at about currently at about 43%. See, quite honestly, this is something where I don't want to give a guidance, etc. But my endeavor is to take it to 50% level. But I don't want to commit a timeline by which I will do, because this is purely dependent on how well the market is going to be responding and how well the opportunity for business is going to happen. And so if I keep adding more and more of good quality cases, etc., clearly the market is conducive, then we may not see too many slippages happening, in which case our provision can come down. So as I am talking to you, if you ask me, my wish is to take it to 50%.
Sir, can you share the segment-wise PCR so that we have a better understanding of the book?
I don't think I'll have it segment-wise PCR. No, I don't think I'll be able to. Maybe we can
no,
probably.
Sir, take it,
but right now I don't have. That's something she don't.
Sir, just last one question. So you shared your disbursements of 10,000 crore in the first half of this year, which amounts to around 20% of the starting book. But if I compare across segments, we have seen a decline across every segment, whether it is retail, whether it is business loans. So if you can share the disbursement breakup also, then we have a big understanding of how the growth is going to pan out. Because the repayment pressure seems to be quite strong for us.
May I request Mr. Prabal Gandhi to please repeat your question, sir?
Sure. So, uh, So I was asking that the disbursement and numbers that you shared were around 10,000 crores for the first half. So if I compare it on the original loan book, the starting loan book, it comes to around 20%. But across the segments, we have seen a decline in loan outstanding. So if you can share the disbursement breakup across segments, then we can have a better view of where the growth is going to flow in from. Right?
Now I tell you where the growth, basically this, if you look at even this growth which you are talking about, is primarily has happened with a little bit of traction started happening from July onward, because the entire team was set in place by the end of first quarter. So to that extent, the ramp up is happening. I mean, the growth has come predominantly in the last 1.5 months of activity. As I am talking to you, retail anyway, the numbers etc. they shared. We have touched about 100 crores of personal loan per month in only in the month of September, and we are talking about credit card etc. being a very small number. So corporate, where predominantly we have been sourcing A and above kind of rated cases etc. is what we are sourcing, and that is there. We are also seeing some good opportunity in very short term products, where if you are looking at a AAA kind of institution which is looking at, let's say, 500 crores of this discounting, etc., for 90 days, 120 days, 180 days, etc. Even those are, and it's a repeat business, and that is something which is helping us also to have source a better quality case and with a potential for earning. Since as a bank, we still continue to carry surplus. You know, our CD ratio is quite low. So therefore, we still have surplus. So we are clearly looking at opportunity to deploy this wherever we are seeing. Credit-wise, it's meeting our standards, and delta profit wise, it will be giving us this thing. So, predominant this thing has happened from corporate, gold, business segment. That these are the top three segments.
Sir, and since you mentioned about the surplus that we are having, can you share your outlook on margins in the medium term and the near term on NIM?
See, margins, frankly, the margins in the market today is extremely low. A market is actually following predatory pricing. We are looking at SMEs being offered 7-7.5%. Corporates are asking for rates of 5% and 5.5% and 6%. So if you are expecting margins to improve, I think even the larger banks, by virtue of their book size being very large, the incremental business margin probably may not be moving the needle at all. So therefore, for a bank of our size, etc., clearly margin is something which is going to suffer for some time. So I don't want, I'm not really keen to give a big guidance, etc., because today we are not in a phase where sensible pricing is happening. So I'll continue to earn whatever 2.6, 2.5, 2.6, 2.75% kind of margin, because retail, which I'm doing currently at, let's say, 12, 13, 14% with a better quality, but the data which gets added through retail is a very small portion considering the overall book size. So unless you really see markets helping us to really ramp up retail in a big way, which is also comparable to the book size, then you will see the overall margins moving much better. But as of now, my margins are clearly on the lower side, primarily because of retail just started to doing showing some traction, and we are looking at quality. Therefore, we don't want to compromise on quality. Therefore, we are and we have surplus. Therefore, we are using that to really build a good quality asset, though it may be a very short-term kind of product, but we want to ensure that quality doesn't suffer. That's where it is.
Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, dhanyavaad, sir, and namaskar, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. Sir, as you have explained that a lot of effort has to be put to rationalize much more of our cost of operating cost also. So what should be the trajectory going forward? Because if we compare your other operating expenses, they are not commensurative to our income. I mean, they have gone up disproportionate to what the income has been. So how would you explain this, and going forward, what should be the trajectory on the other operating expenses?
See, if you look at the this is what I had explained earlier also. Cost income will start becoming, see, the better run banks are obviously operating at a level of 40% and below. So when we look at our own cost income, but for the fact that we have taken accelerated impact of FPF, etc., which we wanted to provide it in next 7 quarters instead of 60 quarters which the regulators have given us, if you back calculate that, we would have been at about 53%. So as again, should, I mean, whether 53% is comfortable or not comfortable, obviously I want to bring it down below 50% and I want to bring it down below 45%. That can happen only when the denominator also starts going up. Why will denominator go up? Only when the market becomes conducive for you to do more and more asset business, which is what we have started seeing traction in the last 1.5 months. So I think we need to have patience to ensure that we keep building good quality assets, which will start improving our overall income, and we also need to tap all the opportunities which are there, and we continue to rationalize our cost by bringing in more and more efficiency. See, we also added manpower, we also added few lateral resources, we have also taken the hit of the IBA negotiation, etc. All that has started reflecting only this year. So with all that, your cost is clearly appearing to be on the higher side compared to the potential of income, which otherwise in a normal year we would have seen a proportionate increase in income happening. But due to economic situation, due to our own situation, we were also cautious in not wanting to grow just for the sake of growing. We want to first set the infrastructure right so that we don't err on the quality again. Therefore, that kind of restructuring required about 5 to 6 months to put it in place. And once we put that in place and with the people taking positions, etc., we had about 1.5-2 months in this quarter to start showing some results, so, which is now what we are seeing. So I will be happy if I can bring it down to sub 50 ASAP, and my goal is to bring it below 45 over a period of time.
Sir, on the slippage front, you have told that this year also we are anticipating 2100 to 2400 in totality, out of which 1300 is what we have provided for the first half. This is what the guidance should be, sir?
Correct, yes.
So going forward also we are expecting...
We continue to hold that guidance, though we have actually seen lesser in Q2 compared to what we had envisaged. We had envisaged 650 crores, we ended with 530 crores.
Okay, so sir, the second half also similar numbers only we are expecting at least.
Whatever 2300, I mean if you ask me 10 times also, I'll say the same thing.
Right.
We are giving guidance of 2300 to 2500 crores for the full year. We don't want to over promise and under deliver. We will try our best to bring it down, but I don't want you to reckon that at this stage.
So, sir, taking into account that since the pain is not out of the system, how long will be this wait for your shareholders, sir, who have entrusted? I can understand, sir, that you have a Herculean task of first cleaning up, then realigning things, then looking at cost, and then creating profit. First, we are at the bottom to receive anything. If you take the structure, it is first your business, then your customers, then your staff, and whatever would be left after that would be attributable to your shareholders. So to sum it up, sir, what kind of journey are your investors looking forward going forward? You have given a timeline of 2024 and all.
Very valid question. Frankly, it's a very good question, and whatever you must only acknowledge that whatever we are trying to do is basically to build an institution which can work very efficiently over a period of time. See, as equity investor, you know equity investors, I'm also an equity investor, therefore I know that we are into equity because we are willing to take the risk. So your question of how long do I take the risk, etc., it's up to depend on your risk appetite. So therefore, if you're asking me as a person who is driving this institution, what is my goal? My goal is to turn it around and build an institution which has got all the right ingredients so that it can continue to produce lot of profits over a long period of time. But when an institution has been set up in certain way and it has been delivering profits for some time, but due to various other things, when it's going through down phase, precisely we are talking at the stage when it has seen the bottom, when it is seeing the bottom. And market is also not helping us because economy has also not been doing well for the past 1.5 years. And particularly this bank had seen the natural calamities hitting the bank consecutively year after year. For therefore, this state, which has where 50% of the branches are present, hasn't seen a normal year for more than 4-5 years now. So you are talking about an institution which has not seen a normal year for 4-5 years, because of which a lot of things have happened in the portfolio. Now a person trying to come here over last one year, trying to pick the basic building blocks and put them in place and starting to accelerate the engine and carrying it forward to arrive at a speed of what anybody would expect is going to take some time. Now, I really cannot answer your question, how long you need to wait. My idea is not to make you wait for long. My idea is to not to make you wait at all. But it's not something which is going to happen in 1 day or 1 month or 1 quarter or 1 year. It is a journey, because if anything which can happen in 1 day, 1 quarter, it can also go down in 1 day and 1 quarter. That is not something which you are trying to create here. If I want to just show this thing, if you can go and distribute money and you can show asset growth and then you are happy about the NPA coming down because percentage wise it will be coming down, but then it will create a lot of pain for many, many quarters to come. Therefore, I don't want to take any shortcut here. I want to really put a good building block. Now, I think you have been patient enough till now. Just endure for some more time. I'm sure you will not repent. That much I can tell you.
Correct, sir. So we can understand your detailed point on the same.
Right.
So we hope that your thought process and the steps which you are taking do bring out the changes. Sir, what we are seeing currently is that key players, technological players like Paytm and all, they might be turning out to be competitors, and also they would be the people who would be looking for franchises like you to take your credit liability and create that, use the technology of and going with lending and all in that way. So going forward, any tie-up or anything of that where you can leverage your book and create that partnership with leading institutions or with a tech player, as has been the case in other geographies of the world. So any thought process on that, or we are totally looking the traditional?
We have made a good headway into it already. You are perfectly right. I appreciate your understanding that this is exactly the way forward. We shouldn't really look at fintechs as competition. We should look at fintechs as partners. Towards that, we have already started associating with a fintech for our gold loan. And we are, as I am talking to you, we are exploring a couple of such opportunities where we can, wanting to tie up with people so that we can leverage on their technology capabilities and we can use our distribution strength. Currently, obviously, I cannot reveal any of those names extra because it's all in very, very initial stages. So as we go along, if you ask me whether we are thinking on those lines, we are not only thinking, we have made good headway on those lines. Whether this is something which is needed to be done, obviously it needs to be done, and clearly bank is not shying away from thinking that this is the way to move forward. The entire digital growth, in fact, the elaborate thing which I talked about, how we are equipping ourselves through technology assets which we are building across, is essentially to make sure that the bank is well invested in technology products to be ready for leveraging the digital ecosystem which is going to come in. So for that, definitely tie up with the fintechs are a must. And as I'm talking to you, we have also finalized, for vendor and dealer financing, a partnership with a fintech through which everything will be done through the platform. Similarly, for retail, LOS, end-to-end thing will happen through a platform. So once we create the platform, once you have the credit models in place, then it is your imagination to go and clearly define your risk appetite, and you can tie up with anybody. Because you know that even if they source junk, you can get them rejected because your credit system is strong. So once we build that capability, then the sky is the limit. You can actually go and tie with anybody and everybody. Of course, depending on whether their culture and risk appetite matches with yours.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
First of all, I want to thank all the analysts who have taken part, and we are still going through very tough times, so please take care of your health. And second thing is, I am very happy to see a lot of good quality questions, not merely going by the opticals of the numbers, but really wanting to get into details of what the management is trying to do and where management is seeing traction happening and how management is wanting to bring more changes. And such questions, I think, is very, very encouraging, and I am very, very happy to really be giving explanations for those questions. I will really encourage more and more such questions to come rather than some optical questions, which is actually not helping any institution also to, you know, correct themselves in the right way. Because just to give answers, they might do something which may not really be good for the institution. I am very glad that, you know, some of the questions were really incisive, and it has been hard after doing some homework, and that is something which I really appreciate. And I continue to reiterate that we'll be as transparent and as open as possible, and we will share whatever we think should be shared with you, and wherever we believe that it's something which is going to happen based on our reasonable judgment, we are reiterating them. And wherever we believe that we assess something but which is not happening the right way, we will be open to coming and sharing with you in all faithful and honest disclosures. So I will continue to be engaging with you, and once again thank all of you for taking your time out and helping us to elaborate and explain these numbers. Thanks a lot, and take care of yourself. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.